Your way down, grab your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, okay? Let's jump right into it. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God, on this incredible day of Pentecost, gave man the gift of Holy Spirit, a gift unparalleled in excellence, in power, and in purpose. And that's going to be my focus today, the purpose of Pentecost and the purpose of this gift of Holy Spirit that we have within. Of all the magnificent events initiated by God, what He did on the day of Pentecost stands right at the top of the list. It's got to. The day of Pentecost was the fruition or the manifestation of God's deepest desire. He yearned for Spirit-filled men and women to fellowship with, which He initiated when He started life to begin with. Man had body, soul, and spirit. But unfortunately, man did that one thing God told him not to do, and he lost the spiritual connection. God still loved man. God still wanted to communicate with this man. So He did what was required to redeem mankind so that He could fill him with Holy Spirit again. The day of Pentecost was the fruition of all that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished through His life, His death, His resurrection, and ascension. The day of Pentecost is the fruition of the one body of Christ, the church, with Jesus Christ at the head. There's a statement by Dr. Victor Paul Weirwohl that illustrates very well the importance of Pentecost. And I quote from Jesus Christ, our Passover, 10 days later, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the 12 apostles were given the Comforter and received into manifestation power from on high. This was the beginning of the church to which you and I belong. For the first time, the gift of Holy Spirit was poured out on believers. Jesus Christ's life had been leading up to this great pinnacle in human history, and with this outpouring came the culmination of what He had come to make available. This statement, listen, Pentecost consummated the purpose of Jesus Christ's entire life. It's quite a statement. The day of Pentecost was the fruition of the opportunity for each and every man to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that God raised Him from the dead, and get filled with that eternal new birth realities. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The day of Pentecost ushered in a whole new lifestyle for man. God gave us His gift of Holy Spirit. You know, I see this gift that He gave as a twofold purpose. And if you got your pens ready, here they are. Number one, God filled us with the gift of Holy Spirit that includes a whole bunch of spiritual realities that would provide us with an enjoyable, fruitful, powerful, and purposeful life for eternity. Now, you're going to have to put that in your own words. But God gave us so much. In that Holy Spirit, there is so much in those spiritual realities that it's just lists. It's a long list. It goes on and on and on. The greatness of what we have in Christ that we received when we got born again with that gift of Holy Spirit. And it was with the purpose that we would have an enjoyable, fruitful, dynamic life. Number two, God designed this gift so that we would have the greatest ability ever to hold forth His word, to do His desire, to be a part of the business, the family business. God's the head of the business. You know what that business is? God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants every breathing soul to get born again of His Spirit and to come to a knowledge of the truth so they know what they have in Christ. So this gift of Holy Spirit allows us to do that. It allows us to go up to people and talk with them, word of knowledge of what to say, word of wisdom of how to go about it. Okay, maybe they need healing. So we do that one too. All the wonderful nine manifestations allow us to do this. Let me illustrate this to you. God gave us a gift of Holy Spirit. There it is. All right? This gift is inside of us. All right? And within this gift of Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, all kinds of neat spiritual realities. We are made the righteousness of God. How righteous is God? He's right. All right? Justified, pure before God. God sees you justified. He sees you pure and clean. No sin, no condemnation. Redeemed. Oh, redeemed in how I love to proclaim it. Yes, because the price is paid. I don't have to work for this redemption. I don't have to work for this gift of Holy Spirit. It's mine. I have it. Oh my golly, eternal life. I'll tell you what, that's why I got involved with the fellowship that taught the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. When I was 12 years old, I had the realization in my life that I was going to die someday. You know, as a kid, you're living life, having fun. You don't think about those things. But you know, you get a little bit older, 12 years for me, and I knew I was going to die, and I thought about that. And I cried all night and the next day. My folks really couldn't help me. I had wonderful folks, but they didn't have the answers. And it wasn't until I was 20 years old that I got born again of God's Spirit, and I spoke in tongues. And when I spoke in tongues for the first time, that was the greatest pinnacle of my life. I'm sorry, honey, you're the best wife in the world. You're number two. But to be born again, to know that I have eternal life and I have all these spiritual realities, the hope of Christ's return, oh my goodness, to have that in my mind so as I live each and every moment of my day, I know Christ is coming back at any time. Does that put a little jump in your step? Oh, it should. We are sons of God. We have incorruptible seed. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Oh, it just goes, peace. I have the peace of God. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart. Oh my golly, all these great spiritual realities. I have the ability to operate all nine manifestations. You know, I should have a whole stack, a list of other things that are wrapped up in the spiritual gift. And all these to bless my life, to make me fruitful, to give me a purpose in life. Whew, isn't that great? You know, when I was a young kid, my purpose in life was to play sports, you know, to be some sports star. That didn't last too long. Getting to college and competition's a little stiff there. But when I was a sophomore, I got passed to me, not a basketball, but the gift of Holy Spirit. And it gave me eternal life. It gave me something to live for. Amazing. But you know what? The second part of this is that God's given us the ability to do His will, to hold forth the Word, so that all men could be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's our purpose in life, folks. The greatest thing you'll ever do in your life will be to help somebody get born again of God's Spirit. That's it. That's it, man. I mean, to give somebody eternal life, to help them know that, and to know that they've got Christ in them. There's nothing greater. Can you think of anything greater? You could win 100 Super Bowls, NBA champions. That's nothing compared to being a son of God and holding forth the words of life. Wow. Nine manifestations, you know. God gave us those nine manifestations so that we would hold forth His word, that we could be so efficient and effective in holding forth the words of life. Well, let's go to Acts. You're already there, aren't you? Let's go to chapter 1. You're already close to that. Chapter 8. What did I say? I meant chapter 1, verse 8. The last words, recorded words of Jesus Christ before He ascended up, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and on Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to receive power. Of all the things that Jesus Christ could have said you were going to have, He said you're going to have power. He didn't say, on Pentecost, you guys are going to have fried chicken and French fries and carne asada and stuff like that. No. Of course, He didn't know it was going to be Pentecost necessarily. But God picked Pentecost to kind of a great day to do something wonderful. But power, power, power. See the emphasis? Power. You are going to receive the power, and you're going to move it to the uttermost parts of the earth. And is that what happened? It sure did. It sure did. Let's go back to chapter 2 here. In light of God's purpose for filling man with the gift of Holy Spirit, we see these two purposes unfold in the following scriptures. All right? So in chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll read this wonderful verse again, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. What a fantastic thing. When they were speaking in tongues, these different languages they were speaking could be understood by these folks that came in from around the known world for this great day of Pentecost. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak those hillbilly Galileans that know nothing? They're just Galileans. And here, look at this, what they're saying. And how hear we, every man, in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them what? Speak the wonderful works of God. They speak in tongues, in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. When you speak in tongues, you speak the wonderful works of God. You do. You speak those wonderful works of God. So, right here, we know that God's desire and purpose is to see us use this Holy Spirit to hold forth the Word. Did some people hear the Word with this speaking in tongues going on? They sure did. They heard the word. They heard the wonderful works of God. Well, what about Peter? What did Peter do at this time? Because he stands up, doesn't he? He stands up, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, hey, let's get out of here. We're going to get, oh my golly. You know, a few days ago, we were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews because, man, we thought we were next. Our leader's gone and it's got to be us next. Those Roman soldiers will get us and they'll take us and we'll be judged by the Sanhedrin and we're all going to die. Let's get out of here and take this Holy Spirit and run. No. Now think about that. Where was Peter some, 10, 11, 12 days before this time? It says in John 20:19, well, let's look at it, make sure that I'm not pulling your leg. John 19:20. 2019, I'm sorry. 2019. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Wow. Well, look at this man, Peter. He's filled with Holy Spirit, and look what he does. A total reversal. Unbelievable. Okay, back to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is what that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and he memorizes these verses and shares them. Verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him, in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He pointed right at those Jews and said, you did it. Look what you did. Man, is that boldness? Man, Peter's life was totally changed from being fear-bound, behind closed doors, by in their face, you did it. But he was on fire, wasn't he? He had Holy Spirit in him. Boy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I'm sure he was just hitting them all over. He was getting what he needed to say. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. You know, he's quoting what David said in the Scriptures. Verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he was both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is right with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Man, he is teaching them. He is laying it out for them. And seeing this before, verse 31, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. What did they see? They saw dynamic men speaking in tongues, different languages. They saw Peter just standing up with great boldness because he was filled with Holy Spirit. Man, oh man, oh man, what a day this must have been. People's lives were changed. It was the birthday of the church which you and I belong to. Wow. How many candles are we going to have today? What, about 2,000 or something? 1,995? I'm glad I'm not in charge of the candles. Okay. Now, you see and hear this. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, how do you think they responded? Well, it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, I love that. Man, you do a teaching and fellowship. You got some new people there. And their eyes are like BBs. They're just right on you. And you teach God's word, and it's done. And they say, well, what should we do? Oh, don't we love that? Because what do we do then? Oh, we lead them into the new birth. Maybe they're already born again. Maybe they want to speak in tongues and realize the greatness of speaking in tongues. What shall we do? Well, what did they do for them on this day of Pentecost? Then Peter said unto them, repent! What he's saying is, change your minds and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive into manifestation the gift of Holy Spirit. Wow. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, Holy Spirit, filled with Holy Spirit. And the same day there were added unto them about how many souls? 3,000. Pretty effective, Peter was. Pretty nice that he got bold, huh? And didn't stay behind closed doors, but used that Holy Spirit to move the wonderful words of God. So, what are our two purposes of Pentecost, basically? Let's do a review here. God gave us all these new birth realities, right? So that we could be blessed, happy, joyful, knowing who we are in Christ, so that we could just have purpose and meaning in our life. Just that alone, wow. But then also, he gave us the ability and the charge to move his word over the world. That's why we say word over the world. Word over the world. I got to think, once the word gets over the world, what's left to happen? Doo-doo-doo. Maybe a trumpet. Christ coming back. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what I'd like to do at this time? I would like to take you back. I have a little time machine here, and I'm going to take you back into history, back to the day of Pentecost, so that you can see what kind of response there was from a few individuals that were there on that particular day of Pentecost. So here we are. Zip, blink, blink. Okay, we're on.
So great. Holy Spirit is now available. We now have the gift of Holy Spirit within us. We have so much to share. I can speak in tongues. I have a perfect relationship with God. I have access to God. That is so cool, isn't it? I mean, don't you just want to tell everybody? People need this. People need to hear this. They need to know that they can have this relationship with God. People are hungry, and we have exactly what they need. Don't we?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But, you know, I've kind of been thinking. I mean, it was so cool to see him speak in tongues. And I think I'm just going to go home and really, like, study it and just really work on me speaking in tongues and getting my relationship set with God. You know, I don't really want to talk to people necessarily. I don't know if I know all the answers. But I think if I study it enough and really work on mine, I think I'll get there because it's pretty cool.
Man, you're right. It is really cool. But you know what? God will show you what to say. You have that Holy Spirit. God knows you. He knows your abilities, but it's not about you. God can work within you and show you what to say. God needs us to speak his word, because who else is going to do it? He needs you to do it. You have what people need to hear, no matter what your personality's like. Who the heck cares?
I don't know. It's not really my personality. You know, I like to kind of do my own thing and just really know all the answers. So that way, if somebody asks me a question, you know, I know the answer. So I really, you know, I don't know. I'm not a Mike Baglieri. It just doesn't really work for me. So, you know, I just kind of hang out, and maybe later I can do it.
Man, you have got to see that God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all people to have Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you come from. If you have Holy Spirit, you have something to give. You have God's word, and people are so hungry for that. You have exactly what they need, and God will show you word for word what to say, no matter who you are, where you come from, or who you're talking to. God will show you what to say. You can do it. You have something to give.
You know what? I think you're right. We do have something to give. And you know what? God is always faithful. So if he says we have it and we can use it and that we're to go out, I guess that's what we'll do.
Yes.
God's blessings. Let's share it with folks. You know, think about that. Just, I tell you what it would be great to do is just in your prayer life, ask God, Father, give me some person today. Give me one person. And then have an expectation that as you're doing your thing that day, you're looking for that person that God opens the door for. And that way you'll be efficient. Okay? So wonderful. This is great. It's wonderful that the family here, we can be together and get into God's word and recognize the great value that we have, huh? Okay, Barney. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.